Only two more segments here on Saturday, March 30th, this beautiful morning, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Of course, we're closing in the playoffs. Richard Pollock filling in the host chair for Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg, David Manouk of IllegalCurve.com, Tim Debenham, and Michael Remus. Tim Debenham, easy for me to say. This segment's brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus in the Linden Market Dental Center. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, wearing proper protective equipment is a must. A proper fitting, custom-made mouth guard designed for you by Dr. Les Rikus in the Linden Market Dental Center is an essential part of your protection. In two short appointments, you can get your own custom-fitted mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. Contact Linden Market Dental Center at 204-487-2226 or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Guys, we are now at the Winnipeg Jets, 29 teams down and one to go. This one team, of course, is a team that we cover in depth, and we're going to be going over their trade deadline needs and what they possibly could do over the final two segments. If you want to get in on this conversation, tweet at Illegal Curve to give us your opinion on what the Jets ought to do at the deadline. Ezzy, we talked about Ron Hainsey last week, you know, what they should do, and we broke that down and obviously talked about Burmistrov. But overall, I mean, the Jets are now kind of have a strength, even with the games in hand that the teams in their division have, they kind of have a stranglehold on third place in the conference and, of course, first place in the division. What do you think the Jets will do with the trade deadline coming up on Wednesday?
It's a really good question, and it's good that we kept it until the last half an hour of the show. But the Jets, you mentioned that the Jets have a stranglehold, and they have a really good chance at making the playoffs now with 14 games left. You know, there's probably a 3/4% chance around there that the Jets are going to make the playoffs. If they don't finish third, they have a good chance at getting one of the bottom two mm-hmm. spots. And, you know, everyone knows that Ron Hainsey's a UFA and Kyle Wellwood's a UFA and Antropov is UFA. And as far as Antropov goes, you know, I'll start off with him. I think that if you can get a draft pick for him, you get rid of him. I think Antropov has been one of our worst forwards. And I've said numerous times on this show, I thought he shouldn't even be in the lineup and he might be a candidate for the press box. But, you know, Claude Demel has stuck with him and kept him in the lineup. And his offensive performance, except for a few games this year, has been pretty poor. So I think if you have a chance, get rid of him in that contract. As far as Ron Hainsey goes, I still am of the believer that you keep him. And Richie, I know that if you can get, you know, a couple of draft picks for him, that's fine. But I still think that you keep him because of the way he's played defensively. He hasn't gotten any goals this year. But I think that, you know, Ron Hainsey is a guy that you need for the playoffs, unless you're going to get, I would say, a clean, you know, second round pick, meaning that you don't have to give up another pick to a team to take mm-hmm. his salary. I think you hang on to Hainsey. I know Enstrom's back, but I think that, you know, if you look at the lineup without Mark Stewart in the lineup, without Zach Redmond in the lineup, the Jets struggle big time. As far as, you know, what moves they should make, I think if they can get a defenseman, then that is something that I think is the biggest need for Chevy. And I know that there are holes, you know, secondary scoring. Olli Jokinen has struggled all year. And, you know, if they could get a guy like a Drew Stafford or a Kopetsky who's had a lot of success against the Jets, I think you would be, you know, well served to do that. But I think, you know, as far as, you know, unloading guys, I think that you only do it if the package that you get is really you know, enticing. And I think, you know, Ron Hainsey is a guy that everyone's talked about for a long time. And I think a team like, you know, Gary Lawless mentioned this on Lawless and Order on TSN Jets, the Boston Bruins covet a guy like Hainsey. And I think that if the Bruins are willing to give you, you know, a draft pick and you think that that's, you know, like a Johnny Oduya for a second rounder this year and next year, you know, that might be enough for Chevy to do it, but I still think they need him in the lineup right now.
We've kind of went over every team in terms of their pending UFAs, pending RFAs, and cap space. So let's quickly go through the Jets. Pending UFAs are the aforementioned Nick Antropov, Kyle Wellwood, Antti Miettinen, Ron Hainsey, Grant Klitsam, Derek Meach, and Al Montoya. Lots of free agent signings, of course. The pending RFAs are the more significant ones. Blake Wheeler, Brian Little, Alex Burmistrov, Patrice Cormier, Eric Tangrady, Anthony Peluso, and then Zach Bogosian, of course, is a big one on the back end, with the injured Zach Redmond, Paul Postma, and Artur Skulda as the RFAs. So there's certainly going to be some contracts to sign coming up this offseason, if not before that. But cap space is not an issue in terms of the Jets can take on a lot of money at the deadline if they so choose. David, same question I asked Ezra. What do you think the Jets do coming up on the deadline?
You know, Richard, great question. The truth is, we will really see what this team is made of because, you know, you guys mentioned that the Jets have a likely stranglehold, but it's not a definite stranglehold on the third spot in the East right now. And they've played Carolina today, they play the Rangers on Monday, and they play the Islanders on Tuesday.
Yeah, three games before
So we have three games before the deadlines to really see what GM Kevin Cheveldayoff and the rest of his team are going to do, because really they're kind of in a tough position. Mm-hmm, you know, what do you do? What kind of message do you send to your fan base if you're going to trade away a Hainsey who's look, you can say whatever you want about Ron Hainsey. He's not putting the puck in the net, and that's fine. But at the same time, he's eating up huge minutes. He's blocking shots, and he's being asked to take on a role he had been asked until, you know, now that Enstrom's back, to take on a role that wasn't his natural fit. And so, you know, you have Hainsey playing above his position. And so, you know, yeah, you could trade him, but who's going to fill in for Ron Hainsey?
And we talk about, you know, money issues in terms of what the Jets can recoup. Now, if the Jets right now are currently lined up to play Toronto in the first round, Toronto's certainly a beatable team, especially when the Jets have home ice advantage. So the question is, what is the value? If Ron Hainsey nets you, say, what Doug Murray did in 2 second round picks, what is the value to organization? In terms of monetarily speaking, in terms of those second round picks, as compared to, say, a second round playoff run where you play 6 home playoff games and might net $10 to $12 million, which can be used to spend in free agency if you so choose, or in a variety of other ways. So there's components that go far beyond just the actual NHL roster. Now, Dave, of course, we've been getting some feedback on Twitter in terms of what to do. We're going to get to that next segment. So if you want to get in on that, add a legal curve to tell us what you think the Jets should do in with the trade deadline upcoming. And, of course, trade deadline coverage can be heard on TSN 1290 starting at 6 a.m. with the big show on Wednesday, April 3rd, going all the way through until NHL midweek at 8 p.m. David?
I mean, ultimately, what this team needs is secondary scoring, and everybody knows that. They have only 88 goals for. They have 103 against. So, I mean, their goal differential isn't great. It's the worst of all the playoff teams right now. And they haven't had a lot of scoring. I mean, their offense of late, I think Wheeler, Little, Kane, and Ladd have 2 goals in their last 5 games. And it's amazing because the Jets have been winning. Yep. So it's not like the Jets are losing those games. They're still winning, but they're not getting the production from the big lines.
I think we're pretty certain that there are not going to be any rentals coming into town in terms of the Jets aren't going to go out for a guy like Jaromir Jagr and bring him in for a stretch drive. At least I don't think. I think more likely a guy like we mentioned, you know, a Drew Stafford type or a player who's under contract, fairly reasonable terms, who can help the team in the long haul. I don't think this is going to be mortgaging picks, you know, for roster players who have expiring contracts, unless it's expiring contract for expiring contract. Ezzy?
Drew Stafford, you've mentioned before, and I think he's a good fit, and he's a guy that I think would benefit from a change of scenario. Another guy, too, that's interesting, and, you know, we talk about Ron Hainsey and, you know, what a team would need to give us to the Jets. Sorry, I should say. I'm talking as if I'm in Chevy's front office here. Another guy that's interesting to me that scored a goal last night that I've always really liked is Curtis Glencross. And I think you'd probably have to give up a lot. I believe, Richie, maybe you can check that for me. I think Glencross has got 1 year left on his contract, if not 2 years. He's not a pending free agent.
He's got 2 years left year with a no-movement clause at 2.55 a year.
Yeah, he's a very nice value forward, and he's a guy that you'd have under contract for 2 more years. Glencross can kill penalties. He's a fast skater. He's got a good wrist shot down the wing. You know, the Jets have 2 second-rounders and 2 third-rounders. You know, you'd have to make the decision, you know, do we give up one of our second-rounders that we've acquired maybe from Chicago to go after Curtis Glencross? I don't think you'd get him just for a second rounder. You'd have to probably give a roster player as well. But he's a guy that I would think would be a nice fit in Winnipeg.
I love Curtis Glencross, but what he costs to get based on the assets the Jets have would be difficult, Desi. But that contract's great value, $2.55 million for this year and the next 2, Dave?
Well, ultimately, I think what Kevin Cheveldayoff and his company are going to do is they're just going to stand pat. I really think so. I think that if you look at it from his point of view, he's in a long-term build mode with this team. So what is he thinking? He's thinking to himself, well, you know what? We're in the third spot right now. Mm-hmm. We've maintained this third spot. We know that we likely only have to be about 500 hockey for the rest of the way to maintain that. He can probably do that. We broke down the schedule a couple of weeks ago, and so the likelihood of this team being able to play 500 hockey and get into the playoffs, likely in the third seed, is fairly high. So you think to yourself, why would I trade away something that I don't need to? Why would I mortgage the future? Because to use Coach Noel's, you know, one of his favorite phrases, this team is still a ways away from being a Stanley Cup contender.
The one point there would be, you know, if you're Winnipeg and you say, okay, we're the third seed, it very well may happen that Montreal is a second seed. And Pittsburgh and Boston, the two, arguably, I'm not so sure, arguably. I think they are the two best teams in the conference, are at 1-4. So if everything maps out, you know, based on the favorites winning, you get Montreal in the second round if you are victorious in the first round. Montreal is, to me, a far more beatable team than Pittsburgh and Boston. Not that Montreal isn't dangerous, but then you think to yourself, well, if you can add a player or two who gives you a shot at possibly making it to the conference finals, that makes it more complicated, does it not?
Yeah, and on paper, the Jets you'd think would match up well against Montreal, but if you look at dating back to last year, the Jets have struggled big time against the Habs. They've got the Habs coming up on the road, Dave, later this week, but you know they've had success against the Flyers, and they've played the Bruins pretty well. They've beaten the Hurricanes twice this year. It's really tough if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff to make any moves when you've gotten to this point so far with the players that you've gotten. I mean, Ron Hainsey, yes, he makes $4 million, $4.5 million a year, but he's given you that shutdown role. And yeah, sure, you know, he's at times struggled, and he doesn't give you that offense, but how do you trade a guy that has got you that far? And you could really go somewhere in the playoffs with the defense they've got. And I think, you know, moving forward, you know, we talked about Jacob Trouba on the NHL Midweek Show on Wednesday. But, you know, I look at the defense, and even with Trouba, if he comes in next year or the year after, I still think you've got big-time holes on defense. You know, Derek Meach has done an admirable job coming in for the Jets, but Grant Klitsam has struggled at times. Paul Postma hasn't adapted to the NHL game like they'd like. So you still need a shutdown guy, a veteran guy on defense. And maybe if you have that opportunity to make that move, you do that in the next few days.
And there's nothing saying, Yezzy, that you trade Ron Hainsey for picks, for example, and then as part of another deal, acquire a defenseman to maybe fill that slot. They kind of did that last year with Odia Klitsam. That was a downgrade in terms of talent, but it is possible to do that. And I think that needs to be accounted for as well. So there are many options, and he does have picks, Kevin Cheveldayoff, and there's nothing saying you can't trade draft picks for younger players who you have control of for a long period of time. There are many options. Standing pat is one of them, and it seems to be the prevailing opinion for the most part that he will stand pat. But we want to hear what the fans, of course, have to think. We're going to read your opinion after the break, and we're going to hash out a little bit more of our own opinions heading into the final segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN 1290.